and we're going to continue with our message. Well, let me tell you today how my wife, Amber, and I met. Back in the summer of 2010, there was the LCMS National Youth Gathering. It's a national convention of around 25,000 youth, 25,000 young people that year. It was held in New Orleans, and we had both volunteered to serve as young adult volunteers for that gathering. So the way we actually met was Amber's church had a van of people going, and I hitched a ride with them for the 10-plus hour drive there and back. And naturally, you've got lots of time to talk in a 10-hour van ride. While we were there as well, we happened to share some of the same duties, and we used that time to get to know each other. That was where we first spent a little time together. That's how Amber and I met for the first time. But how we first, you know, became aware of each other, how I first knew that there was a person out there named Amber White was her name then. The way I first came to know that Amber existed was online, actually. It was through Facebook. The youth gathering volunteers all had a Facebook page where you could talk and ask questions and things like that. And I got on there asking if anyone near St. Louis could give me a ride to New Orleans. And Amber saw that request. So the first thing Amber did when she saw that request, it was the first thing that we all do nowadays when we first encounter someone online. And what is that? Someone said, we stalk them, right? We stalk them. She looked at old photos of me online. She probably glanced through the things that I had done and said on that social media website, and it was all with the goal of making sure that I was someone she really wanted to meet and maybe spend 10 hours in a van with. And so she's making sure that I'm not creepy, right? She's making sure I don't spend all my time making crazy political statements. She's looking for some really obvious red flags, things like supporting Chicago sports teams. Just kidding. Amber doesn't care about that. She's trying to make sure that I'm more or less normal. And somehow I passed that test, and because she offered me a spot in the van, and now the rest is history. And really, more and more, for young people, especially for younger people, I should say, this is the way that we meet people. This is the way that we meet people today. As we spend more and more of our lives online, it's becoming more common that we know all about a person before we ever meet them, isn't it? With the help of social media websites, dating websites, business review websites, and more, we actually like to think that there's less risk in our relationships today because we can check everyone out ahead of time. We can kind of weed out the bad prospects, right? And we only ever have to personally meet the people who meet our standards. This is kind of how we meet people today. And as a result, today it seems like we have kind of a hard time giving others a chance. Because if someone makes a bad first impression, or even if their online profiles make a bad kind of before first impression, we write them off. They make us uncomfortable, they maybe even scare us, and we're less and less willing even to meet people. And really, what this means is we're less and less willing to see others as fellow people, people for whom Christ died. Well, hold on to that thought. And let's meet Barnabas, today's hero of faith. Barnabas, on the other hand, was the kind of guy you're always glad to meet. Barnabas is actually a nickname given to him by the apostles. His given name was Joseph. But Barnabas means son of encouragement or son of comfort, encourager. He was an encouraging guy to be around. And Scripture tells us that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And Barnabas shared his gift of encouragement liberally. Barnabas was trusted by the apostles. We see him in the book of Acts carrying offerings and gifts from one city to another. So he was a trustworthy guy in the day when sending a gift of money to another city meant that the messenger could just kind of disappear with it, and you could never track him down. The apostles also sent Barnabas on some special tasks. When they heard about cool and exciting things happening in other cities, the apostles, as we read in our second reading, would send Barnabas to go check it out and to report back. And what's important about Barnabas for our reflection today is that Barnabas, it seems, Barnabas was ready to meet anybody. Barnabas was ready to meet anybody in the name of the Lord. And this is all the more remarkable to us today because Barnabas lived in a world without Facebook or dating websites. Barnabas lived in a world without Yelp and online reviews. Barnabas lived in a new world, or lived in a world where seeing a new face, I should say, seeing a new face and reaching out to that person meant that you really didn't know what you were getting into. Now, of course, some people had made a name for themselves. Some people you did know. News still traveled in that days. And so Barnabas would have known of Saul. Saul's the other main character in our scripture readings today. And Saul has a really interesting story we can't get into in great depth right now, but what you need to know is this. Saul had made a name for himself as a great persecutor of the Christian church. Saul had made it his mission to seek out Christians and to jail them or even kill them. Saul had led the angry mob which killed Stephen, and Stephen was the first Christian who was killed for confessing his faith in Jesus Christ. Saul also went from house to house in Jerusalem searching for Christians, and when he would find them there, he would drag them off to jail, to prison. Saul was a terror to the early church, to that early community of Christians, until one day, Saul was traveling to the city of Damascus. He was actually going to seek out and persecute more Christians there. But on the way, Jesus himself appeared to Saul on the road. Saul was stunned, and right there, Saul repented of his sins. Saul turned to the Lord, and instead of persecuting Christians, Saul now began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, is our Savior. Saul's whole life was turned upside down. Saul was now dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But the early church, even after this change, the early church had a hard time accepting this change in Saul. We read, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. So they thought that he was playing a trick on them to get to know them more. But Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles. Barnabas alone was willing to reach out to this man, Saul. And that's why we're talking about him today. I mean, imagine the situation. Saul has changed. He really has. He's met the Lord. And so Saul goes to Jerusalem, back to where he's been living. He wants to meet the believers there, but every time Saul meets a Christian, and remember, Saul's an expert in finding Christians, every time Saul finds a Christian, they run from him in terror. But Barnabas, on the other hand, goes to Saul. Barnabas risks prison. Barnabas even risks death to meet this man who had hurt the church so deeply. Because Barnabas didn't look at Saul as a villain. Barnabas took a personal risk to reach out to Saul. Barnabas took that risk to treat Saul as a fellow sinner, as a fellow person, a person for whom Christ died. Barnabas didn't let all that he had heard about Saul and the terrible things he had done stop him from going to meet the man himself. And actually, to say that Barnabas took Saul, as our translation says, Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles, that's kind of a mild way of putting it. Because the word that we translate there as took, Barnabas took Saul, has connotations of things like physically grabbed or arrested or caught or took hold of. And so the image is actually that Barnabas literally dragged Saul in front of the apostles, so that when the apostles would see Saul, they were confronted not just by Saul, whom they feared, but also by Barnabas, who was right there holding on to him. And Barnabas it was whom they knew and trusted. And so by doing this, Barnabas actually broke through their fear. Barnabas broke through Saul's bad reputation. Barnabas made the apostles see Saul as a fellow person for whom Christ died. We read, then Barnabas told the apostles how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to Saul, and how in Damascus, Saul then had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And as a result, the apostles were convinced that Saul had changed and Saul was welcomed into the church, all because one person, Barnabas, this son of encouragement, had reached out to a man whom nobody else thought belonged in the church. Barnabas knew that Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Barnabas knew that Jesus' sacrifice means that nobody is beyond God's grace. Barnabas knew that nobody is unforgivable. Barnabas knew that anybody could change. This gift of salvation is yours in Christ. And now we are called to share that gift with everyone we can, just as Barnabas did. Jesus has brought together billions of people through the history of the world, literally billions of people to be part of one body, the body of Christ. That's the church. And there's room in this body for every person and every kind of person. There's room in the body of Christ for those people who are different than us. There's room in the body of Christ for those people who might make us feel uncomfortable even. There's room in the body of Christ for those people who might even scare us a little bit. And you know, there's no shortage of people out there who would make us uncomfortable or scare us or challenge us. There's no shortage of people out there who are like Saul. And so today, what do we do with these kinds of people? What do you do with that man you know who maybe hates the church and lets you know about it? What do you do with that person with the scary tattoo? What do you do with the homeless person, the Muslim family, the folks from the wrong part of town? What do you do with those who embrace a radically different lifestyle than you? Well, when you think of these people, do they make you uncomfortable? Then Be like Barnabas to them. Encourage them in Christ. Drag them to church if you can get away with it. Reach out to them. Be willing to meet them. Be willing to speak to them and engage them, just as Barnabas did and just as Jesus has called us to do. But most of all, with these people who challenge us, most of all, see them as Jesus sees you. Because they may be a different kind of person than you, but they are people. They're loved by the Father. Their sins have been paid for by Christ, and Jesus welcomes those people into his body. In the church, we know there's no room for us and them kind of thinking. We're all simply people. And it can be messy, and it can be uncomfortable for us, but that's actually a good sign, because it means the Holy Spirit is doing his work, and he's doing his work beyond what we can do ourselves. Well, something I haven't shared yet, but I'm sure that many of you have picked up on this if you know the story. Saul, the great persecutor of the Christian church whose life was turned around by Jesus, Saul, who Barnabas brought into the fellowship of believers in Jerusalem, Saul is actually better known by another name. Saul is Paul, the greatest missionary of the early church. Saul is Paul, who wrote a big chunk of our New Testament. Paul, whose personal mission it was to share the gospel with Greeks and Romans, these people who didn't really fit in with the Palestinian Jews, who were the first disciples of Christ. Paul himself is known for that more than anything. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. And let me ask you, when we let our own discomfort with different people keep us from reaching out, from embracing them as Barnabas did, how many potential Pauls do we let slip away from God's people? Let me close with this. One of the best-known passages that Paul would go on to write is Galatians 3:28, where Paul says this. He says that in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Paul there, he isn't saying that there's no differences among us. That's obvious. Paul is saying that Christ breaks down all the barriers between us. When we are baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, we are baptized into a family. Jesus brings us together as nothing else can. And I like to think that maybe Paul learned that from Barnabas, the example of Barnabas who risked his life to reach out to one man. Amen. Let's all stand. As we continue, we confess what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And today, as we're talking about Barnabas and really the work of the Spirit in and among us and through us to gather us, call us, enlighten us, and bring us all the knowledge of the truth, we talk about that in the third article of this creed as we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit among us. So we remember that today as we confess what we believe in the words of the